I'm going to talk about God or Mammon. There's actually no surprise ending to this one. Hopefully you know the answer, but it's a scriptural principle. And I remember Russell Walton used to like to go over in the first parts of the year some of the basics so we could all remember, because, you know, by December, at the end of any given year, your brains are fried, you want to go to camp, you know, deep spiritual thinking often eludes us. So you've got to recharge again in the early parts of the year. Or at least that's what I tell myself. Okay, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he, well, I would have thought make a fruit salad, but... And he said, this will do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, you know, do you find yourself saying that? Soul? thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And you notice there's no, for tomorrow you shall die there. It's just eat, drink, and be merry. But God said in verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Clearly I took no thought as to what I was going to put on. The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Okay, so a nice opening scripture there to set the tone for Team Mammon. Luke chapter 16. Okay, just one verse here, verse 9. This is the story of the unjust steward. He was somebody that thought himself to be particularly clever. You know, he was settling, you know, he was given a remission in one sense, and he tried to settle debts quickly in the other sense. In verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So in other words, you know, when your money dries up, I hope you bought a good bunch of friends, because you're going to need them. And this was kind of the story. I was up in Perth at a management meeting today, and you know, part of this meeting was looking at the profitability of the construction industry at the moment, which is basically not profitable. You know, if you stay in business, then you're doing okay. A lot of people bidding on, you know, zero margin or less than zero margin, and we're no different. But there are some people making money, and you know, as people want to do, they're making a big note of themselves, and you know, showing how, you know, clever they seem to be amongst their peers. And we know as that sort of behaviour tends towards, you know, destruction, and it happens very quickly in the building industry, where you can be dealing with somebody, a large, as Lauren said, large subcontractors or something like that, and then a week later they've announced they're in administration and they're going to fold. You know, so out of completely nowhere, it seems like your financials go bad, your business has collapsed, and it just happens. And so it is with us people, you know, any number of people you might know that have come along. They may have been spiritual supernovas, they may have been plodders, but they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, God saw fit to listen to their cry. They filled them with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, walked along for whatever time they walked along with, and then they get caught up in it. You know, sometimes it can be that they are too clever, you know, that they're really a wolf in our pack of sheep, and they're just here to cause trouble. Other times they start off with genuine spiritual, you know, amazing healings or revelations or things like that, but eventually something happens in their life and they're called away, and then after losing all their friends, they have to go back out there and be that person that couldn't even stick to that thing that caused you to lose all your friends. So it's not a good picture to be in. Another example in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I've talked before about my dislike for the prosperity doctrine. You know, there's no doubt that God blesses his children. There's just no doubt that, you know, if you do things that God wants, he will look after you. But, you know, as I said before, using God as an ATM machine, I don't think is a scriptural principle that we're looking there. You know, so, you know, if you put $5 in the tithe bag, you expect $50 to fall out of someone else's pocket and you pick it up. That's not how it's supposed to work. And look, if it does, maybe you should give that person back their $50, okay? You know, be spiritual about it. But what happens is when you get money, you know, in fact, when you're poor, you don't have access to, you know, jet skis and, you know, three cars and two houses and a boat and a holiday house in the Bahamas. You know, you're just, frankly, busy scratching to make it through the day. You know, are you going to have brown rice or white rice? These might be the big decisions you have in your day. You know, some tofu, perhaps. It's a big day out. Yeah, Rose. What did Rose say the other day? Sago. That's right. She's talking about the sorrow of a Sago packet exploding. And I said, Rose, I think that's a victory. I think, you know, sweep the Sago aside. Go and get a hamburger or something. But they which fall into temptation and snare, you know, foolish and hurtful lusts, you know, they drown men in destruction and perdition. This is really strong stuff. And you know, because we focus so often on verse 10 and often quote that wrong, but, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's why in the previous verse, you know, once you've got money, you can do dumb things. You've got an almost unlimited capacity for dumbness. And you feel that because it may have been so difficult to get your money that you're entitled to be dumb. And maybe that's true too. But spiritually speaking, it's not the way to go. You know, you know, it could be that you decided to go and work away, fly in, fly out, you know, for the good of whatever it is you justify that it's the good of. You know, you don't see meetings, you don't have fellowship. You may even last. You know, I've talked again before how my minimal experience with the Air Force going away on exercise, I realised personally that I needed the meetings. I knew that my walk as a Christian was going to fail catastrophically if I couldn't get to meetings. And so I was listening to tapes and, you know, singing along choruses when the other people are out, you know, partying and that sort of thing. And that's what got me through. But it built up my faith so much that I understood this is my walk. This is fundamentally a requirement for me. So on top of praying and reading the Word, I knew myself that I had to get to meetings. That was my thing. And just in case, you know, it was a lesson that I couldn't remember, I went through a good amount of time where I thought work was so important that I would do that all the time. I would miss so many Wednesday meetings and it didn't matter because I could survive from Sunday to Sunday. And it's not true. You know, anybody that says that they can do that, I would challenge you, because I think that you're seeing through a glass darkly actually got painted over in black. You know, it's just, it becomes quite obvious to people who haven't been able to get to meetings for whatever reason. You know, you could be sick, you could be just you didn't care, it could be you're away. But you know, it kind of stands out that you're starving for the fellowship of the saints, for the blessing of the Lord, you know, the instruction, and you know, it's just sad. You know, the meetings are here and they're great, and we've talked about, you know, the healing power of a Wednesday night meeting, and here we are again. We're, you know, choking down how tired we are, and we're trying for me to finish my talk so we can go home. But you know, they are great, and all the people except Philip said, I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable by pointing him out, you know. And so I love it. You know, there's just so few people here, but, you know, it's just great because, you know, God's got the blessing to pour out and we're here to receive it. So if other people aren't here, well, I'll take their share because I'm going to be greedy like that. You know, I just love that God works in our lives. I love it. And so, you know, early on in my IT career, there was a choice to follow the sort of international path to IT stardom or the boring, keep going to the meetings and don't do anything exciting path. And so I chose that path. And it turns out it was pretty exciting. I was working at Royal Perth Hospital and It was always exciting there, but didn't have the glory of going to work in the US, which I desperately wanted to do. I wanted to go to the US, and I wanted to work in these great places and, working at Google or Microsoft or whatever. But I put the Lord first. You've got to make a choice. Is it going to be God or is it going to be mammon? And I knew just from my brief experience of just being away for 6 weeks, it had to be God. Because if it wasn't God, then I was just going to go back to my old ways. And as I've said many times, I was an alcoholic. So you knew for sure that was coming back. And there was no good thing that came with that. I was never going to make it as a fully professional water polo player, despite what Gabe might say. I wasn't going to be great at anything, but I thought I can be great at being a saint that goes to the meetings and just praises God. Just really simple things. That's the choice that I'm going to make. So did I see other people go away and be successful? Absolutely. It turns out that people I went to school with are very successful. Someone's got to be the black sheep, so I thought, well, I may as well be that and move as far away from them as possible. But, as you look at them, some of them are happy, some of them are not happy, some have had, trauma in their lives. But, we've got the spiritual grounding. God has given it to us. He wants to just encourage us all the time. Okay, Acts chapter 5. I guess one of the other motivating things for giving this talk is with my sort of renewed vigour at not working extra hours at work and putting all that effort into, church-related things and the music and up at Yanjibup helping out a bit. I've been watching lots of YouTube videos, and it's amazing how much great stuff is on YouTube, and rubbish, but how much great stuff is on YouTube, particularly for helping churches. There's a lot of, you can learn to be a worship leader, you can get the right hair gel and, it's interesting. It's this cult of the worship leader that comes through on these things. There's these really cool dudes and they've got the right t-shirts on and the right brandings and, they're quoting all the latest Hillsong music. It's just interesting. And one I was watching who generally was pretty good at explaining the spiritual side of all of these things, he's talking about how in America, 80% of churches have less than 200 members. So we always hear about the big churches, but he was saying, really, you probably go to a small church. Now, we'd love to have 200 people here in Bunbury, but most of the engagement is small churches. And even in America, because, things are bigger in America, these small churches, they've got full-on stages and lights and, the computer presentation and all the proper Hillsong songs. And I thought, we're just a bunch of dags here. We just sing, I play my guitar. We just have a great time praising God. It's so simple. What's wrong with that? What am I doing wrong? And this whole Christian mammon thing creeps in that you want to be like these people. And the funny thing was, straight after that, it was a webcast, and there was two people there. There was this guy and his invited guest, and his invited guest basically rebuked him in a very nice way. And explained very carefully that in a small fellowship you have family, and praise the Lord, we have family. We're not a big fellowship. You're not one of 5,000 people. You certainly here don't sneak in, without anyone noticing that you've done that, or trip over, or whatever you're doing with those chairs, But yeah, we're just simple. God loves simplicity. It's all through the scriptures, So it's this. Everything that we add upon ourselves causes problems. So here's an example. Acts chapter 5, verse 1, one of my favourite stories in the Bible. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now, the backstory here is, in Acts chapter 4, there'd been an amazing healing. There was people filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they all spontaneously turned into hippies and they sold things and they shared and they formed a commune and put flower necklaces around their head. And, peace out, brother. It was an amazing time. But Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So why? Why did they do this? They weren't actually compelled by any of the apostles to do this. They sort of got cautiously caught up in the fervor at all, perhaps. They wanted to be seen to be doing the right thing. But they didn't give everything to the Lord. It's like if you're doing something for the Lord, don't take it back again. You know, so it's this whole, well, look, I was doing this for God, but really I got more than that on eBay, and I don't think the church is worth, you know, $8.25. So I'll give him $5 and I'll keep $3.25 myself. That's what happened here. It's like, you didn't have to do it in the first place. If you're going to give your offering to God, don't go halfway, don't go three quarters of the way. You're all in. That's what it is. If you're doing it for God, do it all for God. But in verse 3 it says, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, in verse 5, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on them all that heard these things, as you would expect, you know. If you see someone over there talking to Peter and he suddenly drops dead, you know, people are going to talk. It's going to get noticed, you know. Maybe it's the thud on the ground, I don't know. But he died. And verse 6, and the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Maybe she'd been out shopping, who knows. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Verse 10, then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Dead. So they lied, they died. You know, that's as simple as... I was pretty proud of that, I've got to say. I thought it was catchy. Like, you know, falling over dead. So, you know, is this what happens when you're slain in the spirit? I don't know. But they didn't have to do it. They lied about it. She lied about it. It was a conspiracy. You can fool us all the time. We're easily fooled. I'm very easily fooled. But you can't fool God. Why do you think you can fool God? So God knows your heart, and you know, he's taken your sin away, and yet some people, they just can't help themselves. So here it was. You didn't have to do it, and you died for it. Was it really worth it? You know, and so, as a metaphor, it's the same. Often when you go off and you chase money, you've died spiritually. You know, the Holy Spirit hasn't gone, but you've covered it over in a cloth and your feet are hanging out the end and you've been taken out the front door. That's really what's happening, you know, when you're chasing money. And you can tell yourself any manner of justifying things, but that's what's happened. Another reasonably famous story, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 15. And said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And how did that work out? Yes, he betrayed and he died too. So there's a very, very strong picture here just with these couple of stories. And there are plenty of other stories, but it is death. Spiritual death, physical death, it is death. You know, so money causes problem. But is it actually just money, or is mammon actually, you know, a type for a bigger thing? I think it is. So if we go to Exodus chapter 20. Okay, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. If you're talking scriptural principles, then it seems like this is a good place to hang out. You know, the Old Testament being that schoolmaster blah, blah thing, you know, indicator, prophetic message. Oh, look, it's just, the goodness is just unbelievable. I am slow. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. I'm foolish. I am slow. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay, AFL football, rugby league. Wouldn't mention rugby league, but what can I say? You know, it's staring me right in the face there. Sorry, rugby union. You just look at the TV, you know, if you just happen to be flicking channels, and any broadcast of any sport, and the people are just completely insane with following their team. You know, there was an article in the paper today trying to talk about silent sidelines to stop parents yelling at referees and children, you know, and it's fair to say parents are completely out of control in children's sport and have been for years and years. You know, it's just their eyes roll back in their head and, you know, the evil comes out and off they go. And then afterwards they pack the kids in the car and go to Macca's. It is amazing how this is their idol. They're like, okay, you know, church is not my thing, but I will fill my life with something else. I must find something to fill my life. So it could be vicariously through your children, you know, waiting for Ruben to get signed by Manchester United or... You know, you got to have dreams, don't you? It could be work, as it was in my case. It could be the stock market. You know, it could be shopping. It could be the internet. There's so many things that we have available to us that are our graven images. There's so many things that take us away from God. You know, so we could quite confidently sit here tonight and say, well, it's clearly God, because if you see my clothes, if you see my car, mammon's not my problem. But there are other things in our lives that take the place of our love of money, you know, this thing that'll do until money turns up. So we have to be really, really careful about that. Joshua chapter 24, just to prove that the Old Testament scripture wasn't an accident. And this is great. I actually wanted to know today, and I didn't get to look it up, how many people died in the Bible? Does anybody know? What number of people died? There's tens of thousands or, you know. Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, people normally Christians rail about violence in movies, and I was thinking, well, how many people died in the Bible? There you go. So everyone at the MCG died. Yeah. Probably because they're watching the wrong football game. But Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve the Lord. You know, the thing about being a Christian is it's a choice. We have a choice that we were able to make, and we can choose every single day. Are we going to keep going as a Christian? Are we going to turn away and give up on it? But God is really clear about this, you know, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that there's a right choice and there's a less optimal choice. And if you pick the less optimal choice, then as a, you know, reward in air quotes for the listeners, for that choice. It is your decision. It is your decision. Now, he obviously would encourage, you know, Team God instead of Team Mammon. I would encourage that too. But it's your choice. Matthew chapter 6. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We're just winding up now. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is bound here on earth, then you're going to be earthly. If your treasure is bound in heaven, then you will be heavenly. Really quite simple. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And just to finish, Philippians chapter 4. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, a couple of simple things here. My God shall supply all your need. Okay, he won't supply all your wants. He won't supply the next door neighbour. You know, so... We don't always understand what we need. We often think that what we need is that great electronic drum kit or that new TV or, you know, a flash new Prado so you can tow your caravan from one spot to another spot down at camp. Fortunately, I put that one away. God will supply our need. When we take over, when we lust after these things in the flesh, there's no room for God in our lives, and that's tragic. Because God, you know, he's filled us with the Spirit, okay? So that on its own suggests that there shouldn't be any room for anything but God. So he's filled us with the Spirit. He's told us he'll supply our need. We hear that we've just got to get down and give him our needs and he'll take care of them. But can we do that? Can we make the tough decision to pick God over mammon? You know, it is really hard these days because we have access to so many things. You know, it's not like we're down at a camp just, you know, trying to make it through the morning in the meeting in the tent and then have lunch and then another meeting. We're surrounded by temptation. So it's our challenge every day. Team God, team mammon, you know. God is the answer. Amen.